Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Of his breed, the world's finest water boy.
And that's what I call high quality H2O.
Bobby Boucher was a lonely boy.
Smelt like you could use a shower, Dickie.
Everybody else got friends, Mama. I just want some too.
You don't have what they call the social skill.
My name is Bobby Boucher.
That's why you never have any friends. Except for your mama.
Constantly tormented by everyone. Until one day.
Somebody hurt you, my boy.
You gotta defend yourself here, Bobby.
Or they're gonna ride you for the whole season.
They pushed him too far.
Stop making fun of me.
Oh, dang.
Welcome to Rewatchability. It's the podcast where we rewatch old movies and see how they hold up today. My name is Robert LeBrond. With me is nobody who's usually here. They are still on vacation, but I am here holding up the fort. I am the most important team member in this particular instance. The water boy has turned into the star. And I should mention, we're on the E1 Podcast Network. But today, I have asked my friend Tom McGee to come in.
Hey!
And we are going to be talking about a movie which involves hydration.
It's true.
And masculinity.
Yes.
But before we get into that, first of all, I want to thank our Patreons. Those are the folks who give us a little bit of money every month so that we can keep the podcast going. And in return, we give you the podcast early. It's ad-free. And you get that high fidelity quality.
Yeah, it's in 4K.
It's in, that's right. It's one byte per hour.
Fancy.
Yeah.
Like the queen listens to.
But Tom, we're going to talk about Waterboy today. And I asked you what movie you wanted to talk about. I suggested we hadn't done a lot of Adam Sandler movies for some reason. But this was the one that you came up with. So what's your thinking on that?
So it's weird. I had not experienced watching it because I'm pretty sure I've only seen this movie once. But I do remember a lot of the lines from it, which is really fucking strange.
Right.
I think I remember distinctly watching this movie when I was a kid, like right when it came out. And by right when it came out, I mean when it hit the TV
right, where
I could afford to watch it. I was sitting in my basement at my house in Mississauga, Ontario, watching it on this old busted-ass CRT. TV that had basically like a switchboard to change channels.
Wow.
So they had like three channels that worked really well. Upstairs we had like a slightly better but still kind of crappy TV.
Right, downstairs, it's a basement TV.
Basement TV, yeah.
We had a black and white TV in the basement.
This one was like an Insepia TV. Like it couldn't quite decide.
You have to one-up me.
honestly, it was a color TV at one point. It just couldn't decide what it was doing anymore. It was like someone had just soaked it in tea. So The Waterboy came on and I watched it and I still remember laughing so hard. And I find I was kind of like a bookish kid.
Right.
I was an indoor kid. And so I found a lot of things funny, but I'd be like ashamed to be too uproariously laughing about it. And that kind of carries through today where like I'll watch very funny things or read very funny things.
And be like,
exactly. I have that like, should be like, oh, very good.
Don't be afraid to laugh, Tom.
Man, one day. Well, it turns out it was The Waterboy. That's all I needed. So The Waterboy, I was just losing my mind. I was laughing so hard. I was crying. It was literally just every time he did the scream and tackle someone.
Right.
It was just a combination of like this weird pig squeal.
Yeah, the pig squeal.
And it was always abrupt.
It's horrifying.
Yeah, horrifying noise, always abrupt, and it always ended in slapstick, someone falling down. And that was enough to kind of really get me. And the weirdest thing for me about this film was I only saw it the once. And at one point, someone was like, yeah, like, this Adam Sandler guy's really good. He was in The Wedding Singer, and he's in Waterboy. And I was like, no, those are two different guys. Because I remember watching The Wedding Singer and being like, oh, man, this guy's really good. And I'm like, no, the guy in The Waterboy's a goof. But, like, the guy in The Wedding Singer, that's an actor.
Yeah.
And God.
He's suave. He's got those looks.
Yeah, it's like, one of these guys will be in Punch Drunk Love. The other one's going to be in Grown Ups, too. I was wrong. It was all one man.
Wow.
Many facets. So, as a result, it's always kind of held this weird place in my head where there's still, you know, the mocking, like, Waterboy and, like, H2, right. Like, Gatorade have just kind of stuck in my head forever. So, when we said Adam Sandler movies, I know a lot of people kind of gravitate towards the Billy Madisons and the Happy Gilmores and the Big Daddies, but for me, it was fucking Waterboy. It was, like, the one.
Wow.
And I hadn't seen it since then. I'm like, I'm sure this has gotten worse.
and we will talk about that.
We sure will. So, yeah, that's kind of what brought me around to that. And I guess my shtick on the show is just to, like, scrape off old 90s comedies.
Do it.
Clerks and this. Yeah. Austin Powers, like... Let me keep going, Rob. I'm just going to keep bringing hell to our doorstep.
People need to know whether they're good, and we need to tell them.
They need to throw out those posters.
My experience with The Waterboy is similar in that I'm pretty sure that I only saw it once. I remember we rented it. My dad, we were at like one of his friends' place, and we watched it with his family. And I'm not a sportsy person, as people may know, but in particular, football is like the last sport that I know anything about. I'm like positively, like I know nothing. Like I've seen hockey games. I've played baseball in like elementary school, basketball. You know, I've shot a basketball, you know.
Like with a gun?
With a gun. Well, you should have seen how it was looking at me. But football, I have like no experience. Did like Adam Sandler at the time. I remember this was, I think, probably like the last Adam Sandler movie that I thought was any good.
Mm.
Like after this, I think was when he just sort of stopped trying, you know.
And was this pre or post Billy Madison?
This is post Billy Madison.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Shit.
All right, because I didn't encounter either of those films, like Billy Madison or Happy Gilmore, until much, much later.
Mm-hmm.
So in my head, it's like, literally, Wedding Singer, Waterboy happened within like a year, and then it was like a bunch of other shit. But wow, yeah, okay, then this was the last.
The chronology, I believe, is Happy Gilmore precedes this one, and before that is The Wedding Singer, and then Billy Madison is one of his earlier ones. Mm-hmm. I think it's like his big, like, first starring movie.
Right.
And then there's some other ones in there, which some of them have interesting moments, but none of them, like, at that point, I've outgrown Adam Sandler. Yeah. I will always look back wistfully like an old friend and be like, remember those times that we had with those comedy tapes and Opera Man, but...
And that time you ran a toll booth and yelled at people with swears.
Yeah. So that was my experience with the movie. I hadn't seen it since then, but... There are things that run through my mind, like some of the gags, some of the jokes, like the Colonel Sanders, the medulla oblongata.
Yeah.
Those things, I don't know whether they became part of the larger pop culture zeitgeist, because people do like this movie, and whether or not they were repeated to me that way, or whether I maybe caught bits of it on TV after that.
Well, I also feel like a lot of Adam Sandler's early movies become kind of like an Adam Sandler gumbo. Where it's just like...
Very appropriate. We're down in Louisiana.
Come by the bayou.
Adam Sandler gumbo.
Because I couldn't tell you that Medulla Oblongata came from this and not Billy Madison until I watched this and I was like, oh yeah.
Right.
And there were just a bunch of those moments where I was like, right, this is from this one. But all of them have such a similar tone and weirdly like... In his early films, he got an odd obsession with, like, schooling.
Yeah, he's going to have to go back to school at some point. I mean, maybe that's, like, his big regret.
That was his hit, yeah.
But he did go to school. Adam Sandler went to NYU, so I don't know where this is coming from. I know that sounds surprising.
Well, he came up with that song, Back to School, and he's like, oh, God, I got to use this.
In every movie.
In every movie. Yeah.
There's that part in The Ridiculous Six where he goes back to school. Probably.
It's weird. In the middle of that Chris Farley tribute, he just goes back to school.
He's got to pass the GED or do like a quiz. I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. Bradley Whitford's there. It's good.
So The Waterboy. This is the tale. Come down to the bayou, boy. This is the story of Baba Boucher.
Baba Boucher.
And he is a simple but lovable water boy, and he performs for the football team called the Cougars. And he's very passionate about his job. He loves it. He goes the extra mile. Like, it's absurd. Mm. But the people on this team, they make fun of him.
They do.
And it gets to a point where their harassment of him, it gets to a boiling point, and the coach has got to step in. What does he do? He fires Adam Sandler. He says, you can't be the water boy anymore. After 18 years, it's all over. So, I mean, this is crushing for him. It's everything that he has. It's literally how he identifies as the water boy. So he's got to get a new gig. So what does he do? He goes to this crappy-looking school.
Well, Rob, if I may, first he goes home to tell Mama. We're missing Mama entirely so far in your story.
Can't forget about Mama. He does tell his Mama that he lost his job, and she's sad?
No, she's very happy. She's like, good, stay home with me.
Yes.
Stay home with me. I'm Kathy Bates. You gotta stay with me.
This is, yes, the great Kathy Bates. Of course, perhaps best known, I think, at least to our generation, as Misery. I believe that was the character's name.
Honestly, yeah. And she was like, I liked it so much, I'm going to do it in this Adam Sandler movie, too.
Yeah. She's great at playing obsessed and clingy.
Just like with Jack Nicholson in About Schmidt.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Holy shit. She's kind of typecast.
Yeah, honestly.
I feel bad. And the fried green tomatoes in Fried Green Tomatoes.
Yeah, truly. And I like that she's always named the name of the movie.
But you're right, because the mom is an important part of the thing. And it's the only person he has. He lives at home with his mom. She brushes his hair every night. It's like a really, you know, creepily intimate relationship. It's not quite Buster Bluth.
Yeah, he's like one motel short of Psycho.
Yeah, that's right. But he goes to this other school and talks to the coach there, Henry Winkler, the Fonz.
Hey.
And asks to become that team's water boy. But this is such a crummy school. They can't afford it, and he's not a very good coach anyway. Like he can't come up with plays or anything like that. But Bobby insists on being their water boy for free because he looks at their water bucket and it is disgusting, and he just feels like it's a public service that he needs to do. So he becomes the water boy again. And is it going to be a good fit? He goes to the practice, and it's a very motley crew. This football team, like all the cheerleaders are drunk. There's this like down home on the bayou assistant coach named Farmer Fran.
Yeah, like a what would have been a Chris Farley role in any of, like, he's the bus driver from Billy Madison. He's just a classic, angry, kind of hard to understand, big comedy guy.
Yeah.
The team hasn't won in ages.
Yeah.
Ages and ages. They're, I think it's like a 41 game streak or 41 year streak, I forget which, but anyway, they're really down on their luck. They're not having a good time.
They're not very good, and they're definitely taking out their anger on Adam Sandler, the new guy, the water boy. And they start one guy in particular starts provoking him, and he has like a flashback moment where he just like sees all these other times where he's been taunted by his old coach, by other people, and he loses his shit and tackles the guy, and he looks hurt. Obviously, this is a guy with anger problems, a person with a hairline trigger. Let's use him for sports. When the coach suggests that he come and play on the team, he is initially hesitant because he knows that his mom's not going to let him play football.
She doesn't like the foosball.
Henry Winkler thinks that maybe he can talk some sense into her. So they sort of go for dinner. They have a good home-cooked Louisiana meal.
Anaconda with squirrel as dessert, I believe.
Yeah. And I feel a little bit bad for the people of Louisiana. I don't know how many anacondas are in their diet.
Well, I mean, you know, an anaconda heavy diet is it's good for you. It's good for nature. It means that Jennifer Lopez doesn't have to go into the jungle to fight it.
That's true.
So that's good. I mean, you're just doing a public service.
They are recommending that we eat more anaconda.
It's part of the Canadian food pyramid. the dairy farmers just really overrode the anaconda part.
The hipsters, though, with their anaconda toast.
That's why they can't afford condos.
They can't afford condos.
In Louisiana.
But Henry Winkler says, you know, even though his mom won't let him play foosball, he should just do it anyway because what his mama doesn't know won't hurt her. And he demonstrates this by one of my favorite moments is when he reveals his Roy Orbison tattoo.
Which is on his right butt cheek.
Exactly. Honestly, I just think that's pretty fucking cool. Roy Orbison's the boss.
I kind of hope that Winkler just showed up with that. He's like, can we use this? I've always wanted to use this.
I have this tattoo on my derriere.
Yeah, take to the sea. Now we're just doing Henry Winkler quotes, but I like it. I like it. I think it's the right
acceptable. Part. It's acceptable. But he goes to practice, but he doesn't know anything about football.
No.
He's never paid any attention.
Too busy focusing on the water.
The pH balance and all of that. But they sort of tell him that all he has to do is think about the people who have been mean to him and then just...
Sports violence them.
Just, yeah. Sports violence them.
I want you to think about all those mean people. They're going to be your tackling fuel.
Tackling fuel.
We're going to use them to play football.
Tackling fuel.
I want you to pretend that Casey is insulting you.
Pretend?
I want you to visualize all those people that have been mean to you, and then I want you to attack. I want you to visualize and then attack. Can you handle that?
I tried.
Just going to try.
And there's a lot of people who get some sports violence in this.
It was a hell of a montage of just a very capable stuntman tackling other very capable stuntmen.
Cat scans for all.
And to all a good night. Oh, wait. No, don't go to sleep.
I believe that Adam Sandler did a lot of his own stunts
really, for
this. So he might have had to do all of those.
Well, he always gets the good end of it, though, because he gets to basically jump and hug people.
Yeah.
And then they fall over. So, you know. Just really sharing the love.
Yeah, it's extreme hugging. Well, the first game that he plays, he actually ends up costing them the game because somebody makes fun of his mama, and you don't do that.
No, no.
And he like actually gives the guy the ball, who then runs for the touchdown, and then he kicks the shit out of him. But it's not how you win a football game, as far as I understand.
Okay, so the CFL rules are a little bit different. That is actually how you win
right, a
CFL game. In the NFL, no dice. So, and unfortunately, we're in Louisiana, so, you know.
And what is the CFL policy on pile drivers or power bombs? Which was it?
Well, I mean, Dwayne The Rock Johnson did start his career as a CFL football player.
I forgot that.
As it turns out, people's elbow, very important to the CFL.
Yeah, people always, you know, talk about him like a wrestler first, but it was really his CFL roots that gave him
that's how he got the role in the
superstar quality.
Really, they're like, oh, you're CFL? Fucking hop in.
Yeah, exactly. But there's other stuff happening in this. We can't have an Adam Sandler movie without a attractive love interest.
Fairuza Balk.
Fairuza Balk. And, I mean, I love Fairuza Balk.
I'm just always happy to see her in stuff because I forget, like, kind of, I forget she exists until I go back to 90s films. I'm like, oh, right. Hey, there you are.
Till you turn on The Craft again.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, hey, old friend.
Yeah. And she plays Vicky Valancourt. Such a name with, like, such a melodic ring to
honestly,
it.
Honestly, it's almost a Batman character. Like
Vicky Vale.
Like, yeah, but, like, Vicky Valancourt would fit well in Gotham alongside, although with Vicky Vale probably be too much, but it's a very, like, Stan Lee alliterative thing. And it's, I think, funny coming out of all of these accents' mouths, and I think that's probably why they went with it. But
yeah.
Vicky Valancourt.
Yeah.
It's good. It's fun.
But she's a little bit more interesting in some ways than some of the other Adam Sandler female co-stars.
She actually has agency and does things rather than just...
Well, let's not go crazy, okay, Tom.
Yeah, fair enough. You're right.
But, I mean, when she meets Adam Sandler, like we understand that a long time ago, she and Adam Sandler, maybe when they were kids, they were friends. And then Adam Sandler's mom was like, girls are the devil. This is what she says to everything. foosball's the devil.
And then you get a sick lick of Devil Went Down to Georgia. Just those fiddles come in and, oh boy.
Yeah, that's right. Which is like really short-sighted of him considering that he was going to do Little Nicky right after that.
Yeah, look out.
Reserve it for that. Though, while I'm thinking of it, there is a sad Devil Went Down to Georgia bit that I love in this movie.
Yep. It is well, it's well executed.
Oh, but Charlie Daniels is a fucking asshole.
Yeah, he's a horrible monster.
Horrible monster.
He also lost the lawsuit against Guitar Hero because you play against the devil, and if the devil wins, you lose. And he's like, no, the devil can never win. So he tried to sue them, and they're like, go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself.
It'd be funny if the judge.
Oh, man. I love those fiddle-playing judges.
But the Vicky Valancourt character sort of interests me because she says, like, the first thing that she says when she meets Adam Sandler is that she's fresh out of jail.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, she, what's up with her? She's like, I mean, she's definitely like a bad girl. She jokes about the police being after her at one point when the, later on, Kathy Bates gets sick, air quotes, and the police comes to tell her. She's like, I was
with you from like 2 to 4 a.m. last night.
Yeah.
I'm stealing times. Yeah, well, I think they imply that she boosted cars because she, like, soups up a bunch of stuff. She's basically a Fast and Furious character who just happens to live in Louisiana.
Right.
It's like a prototype of
Michelle
Letty.
Rodriguez. Yeah.
But she also threatens to kill the proctors on his exam. So, like, maybe harder than we think. Like, maybe, like, oh, yeah, she boosts cars, but, like, maybe puts bodies in them. We don't know.
She's dark. But also I wondered, because it's been such a long time since I saw this, I wondered, like, is she conning Adam Sandler? Is this some sort of grift or something? Because she shows up basically out of nowhere after he starts winning football games and then inexplicably is just with him.
You mean me? May I help you?
Hey, stud.
Vicky Valancourt, this is quite a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, I just got out of jail and I heard you were playing football.
Yes, well,
We live by another day. We live by another day.
Yes.
What in here?
So what say we go and get something to eat, catch up on things?
So I've got a horrible theory on this.
Uh-oh.
That I unfortunately think is true. This film borrows a lot of story beats from Forrest Gump.
What?
In a real unfortunate way. And I think the idea...
But Forrest Gump didn't play...
But no, it's the Jenny thing where it's like we were friends as kids.
He did play football.
And you were a sweet simpleton to me, so I fell in love with you then. And even though, like, I've gone on and lived a life, like, I still remember that sweet little boy, and that's who I'm in love with. And
right.
Because like, there were just a bunch of times during this where I was like, oh.
Yeah.
But no, I think they play it completely earnestly. Also, he's got nothing to steal. Like, it'd be weird if there was a Boucher family fortune, then, like, maybe you could have a little, like, Dirty Rotten Scoundrel situation going on.
Yeah.
But no, she just, I think, inexplicably is in love with Adam Sandler, because I think they have a flashback to when they're kids, and I think he says she's pretty or he's in love with her. There's some weird thing, but it seems to just be a runner in these sorts of films where they're just like, oh, we can just short-circuit any actual character interaction by just saying, oh, they're friends as kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tale as old as time.
But he starts having success on the football field. They start winning games, and they're going to go to the Bourbon Bowl.
Oh, classic American sports phenomenon.
But they'll be, you know, facing off against the coach of the team that he used to be water boy for. And we also learn later that Henry Winkler's character and that guy have some history. Like, he stole Henry Winkler's playbook when they were both assistant coaches for the same team. And now he's been using that green book for the whole time.
He won some Oscars for it. Vigo was in it. It was
yeah,
it was,
that's right.
Mahershala Ali was there, but only as a supporting actor, apparently.
Like a
hostage. It's a whole thing, yeah.
But the coach of the other team also informs them that he knows that Bobby didn't actually graduate high school, so he's not eligible to play for the team, and the NCAA is going to, you know, force him to not play. So, drama.
Yeah, it's big drama.
But they eventually will let him play if he just passes the GED. So he studies his ass off for one night.
one very important night of reading.
But this is where his mom finds out what he's been doing behind her back, that he's been playing the foosball.
Yep. It's unforgivable.
It's tough.
Yeah. Mama's real worried that everyone she loves will leave her, so she's just, you know, she's having none of this.
Yeah, and, you know, so there's some backstory, too. Like, we found out that, you know, in a very Tennessee Williams Glass Menagerie way.
And I'm sure that's what they were thinking of. They're like, we're in the South, we got some secrets.
Adam Sandler and Frank Caracci, the director, did the Glass Menagerie at NYU.
This is a memory play.
I feel all the time like a cat on a haunted roof.
Laura, blow out the candles.
You can do it. You can blow out the candles, Laura.
Why did we get Rob Schneider for the gentleman caller?
Stella!
Truly the darkest timeline.
But she's mad about that. And he also tells her that he has feelings for Vicky Valancourt. Mm-hmm. And she showed him her boobs and he liked it.
Yep. Yep. That is an actual line from the film.
And, I mean, I didn't know how to feel about – I mean, it's a comedy movie.
Well, and he's also – and I realized as I was watching it, there's an interesting thing happening in this one that doesn't really ever happen again in an Adam Sandler film,
no.
I think, which is him playing an innocent.
Like, he's completely asexual.
And you're right about Buster Bluth, in terms of he's so clueless that, you know – and this is, again, where it's getting, like, weird Forrest Gump vibes, because she's, like, in his room, and they kiss, and he's like, oh, that was very nice. Like, that's never happened to me before. And she's like, oh, I think that was nice. And then she, like, unzips her shirt. It was the 90s, so they kept it above her chest, which was, like, a surprise.
Yeah.
I was like, good for you. Good for you, film. You managed the base level of decency. But there's nothing horny about it, which, like, she's horny, but he's
yes.
not. And because he's playing an innocent, I think it softens it, whereas in all of his other films, he's, like, much more of a horny asshole about it. Billy Madison, like all those
sure.
things, he's just like, oh, no, he's a horn dog. Whereas in this case, it's like, no.
It's sort of innocent. But I would say the camera, sir, is not innocent.
Hell no. Nor is the
costume. And neither is the
designer.
Wardrobe.
Yes,
no.
Yes. Give her a bra. Jesus.
Oh, man. I definitely, her in this particular scene stuck with me when I was an adolescent.
She's sure. just wearing like a zipper vest.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of teen boy fantasies born out of that scene.
And Kathy Bates is in it. So, like, obviously.
And
like,
the Kathy Bates scene.
Yeah, there's just two levels there.
I love me some Kathy Bates. Because she's so creative. She's also a director.
Mm-hmm.
She's fucking great.
Yeah, she brings a lot of class to American Horror Story.
Right.
Yep,
yeah. She's fantastic.
We love you, Kathy Bates. Long-time listener of the show. Patreon supporter. Enjoy your 4K version of this podcast.
Yeah, but she obviously upset. She gets sick.
Yep.
She has some medical distress. She pretends to be sick. And then Bobby says that he can't play football because he has to look after his mom. And
also the
sad.
Town kind of turned against him when they found out he didn't have his GED. They were so upset that he couldn't play that they all like said he was a cheater and they didn't like him anymore. And that really hurt him because he thought he had friends.
Yeah.
And then they all went to go stand around the big bonfire without him. And he was real, real bummed. So he's like, my mom's the only person who cares about me. Which sets us up for our big quote, heartwarming finale sequence.
It was almost heartwarming until Clint Howard grabbed Farooza Balk's tit.
Jesus Christ. God damn it. Yeah.
I was like, oh, yes, I love that Clint Howard's in this movie. Because how often do you get to see Clint Howard when his fucking brother's not behind
the
camera?
Well, and he also gets to give, like, a heartfelt monologue about not being the best-looking dude. And I'm like, oh, he's living his truth right now. Oh, God, he grabbed her boob. Stop that.
Yeah. I laughed, but my girlfriend definitely didn't. And, I think she was the right one in that case.
Yep. The correct response is to balk at it?
Yes. And I'll Farooza that next time.
Next time, yeah, there
that
we go. We did it. We got there.
Yeah, but he is convinced to come out and play the
Farooza
game.
Farooza Balk goes around and finds everyone whose life he's touched in a very Billy Madison way. And gets them all together, including Colonel Sanders, who you mentioned, his like teacher who he didn't get along with, but now he does for some reason. Clint Howard, who's like,
it's because fear, Tom. That's why.
The great motivator. So she rallies everybody. Clint Howard, who's a super fan, who's like one of these two kind of hillbilly super fans.
Yeah.
who are there. I'm sure there's other people, but we don't really care about any of them. Henry Winkler's
there. Rob Schneider's there.
He
yells his, for the first time, I believe, his iconic line.
Is this the first you can do it? Because I don't know, man.
Tom McGee.
Happy Gilmore, maybe? I don't know.
Oh, shit.
But this is the iconic one because he says it like six times. And he also says, cut that guy's head off. He gets to yell a lot of things in this one. And most importantly, he gets to say, you can do it all night long, which is, I think, the high school pinnacle of the you can do it. I heard yelled at the Rogers Cup tennis match a couple weeks ago at a very fancy tennis match.
For Serena?
No. It was just a random like low-level Canadians on a course. I was like, you can do it. I was like, what? Either Rob Schneider or the Offspringer here. And either way, this is a much different tennis game.
Oh, right. It was used in an Offspring song.
It was used in Original Prankster. Yes, Original Prankster.
Wow.
I fucking love the Offspring. My first band.
I was okay with the Offspring. I like Self-Esteem's a good song.
Self-Esteem's a great song.
Yeah. And that guy's a PhD or whatever. Yeah, he's solving the world peace.
Yeah, so she manages to rally all these people who get Bobby to realize that you know, he should play, but he still doesn't want to. He still doesn't want to upset his mama. So he tells them all to go fuck themselves in a PG-13 way. But then lo and behold, mama wakes up.
Yeah, and his mom has come to her senses, and she tells him, she sits him down, tells him the truth about his dad, because she had told him that he was in the French Foreign Legion and he died in the Sahara of thirst. Which has obviously traumatized him to the point where he hasn't been able to move on from his water boy career for his entire life. Thanks, Ma.
You know, honestly, if you can't supply water to the French Foreign Legion, what can you aspire to as a Louisiana child?
Yeah. But she reveals that, no, he just went off with a voodoo woman named Phyllis.
She just named Roberto.
Yeah.
Oh, my word. Is that my daddy?
No. This guy I dated before I met your father. Oh, you could iron a shirt on his stomach. Well, that was lust, not love. Turn the page. That's your daddy. So handsome. Read on.
Dear Helen. Who's Helen?
That's my first name, Bobby.
But that gives him permission to go play the game. So it's the day of the game, and it's already basically started, so they have to, like, race there on a fan boat.
Yep, as you do.
Which is fun.
Yep. The main form of transportation in Louisiana, based on movies I've seen.
Yep. And they do get there, but they don't get there until, like, halftime.
Yep.
And this is where it gets a bit confusing for me, because I don't actually know the rules of football, but there's some stuff happening and then other stuff happening, and it seems like they might come up to win, but then, oh, I remember, one of the players keeps taking a knee and not in the good political way.
Yeah, there's some weird. I know a little bit about football, but it's not my sport of choice either. I learned how to play football by playing the Tiny Toons football NES game, which honestly helped me understand, you run it across the line, and then you get points.
Right.
Thanks, Tiny Toons.
I did not get that part.
Yeah, no, it's important. So basically, a bunch of weird things are happening in this game. There's a bunch of ways you can stall the play.
Okay.
So basically, the bad guys have realized that with Bobby Boucher on the field, he's probably going to win. So they have to do everything they can to just slow the clock down. And Henry Winkler's having a hell of a time with this. Like he just doesn't know what to do.
No.
And all the plays are unstoppable. And unfortunately, because they're all his plays, you know, it's like he's fighting himself. He can't do anything.
Yes.
Until Bobby inspires him
to
just imagine evil coach as non-threatening things. So he transforms into a baby. He transforms into
a little puppy dog.
Lady and the Tramp, kind of. And as a result, he's able to come up with new plays.
Yeah.
Which basically just mean, we're just going to put the water boy in every time.
Just make him do
and
whatever.
He'll just win.
He can kick footballs too. Yep. Though there is also, there's a good moment. We haven't talked about, I can't believe I forgot to talk about his buddy, Derek.
His best friend.
Lawrence Gilliard Jr., who I think is best known as D'Angelo Bark. Fuck, I forgot the name. I'm so stupid. D'Angelo from The Wire.
Yep.
And also he's on The Walking Dead for a while too, but it doesn't matter because Walking Dead was just like, hey, when do we need a new black guy? Let's see who is in The Wire.
Oh, he's dead now. All yeah. right, carry on.
See who else was in The Wire.
Here's this Idris Elba guy. Let's get
oh,
him.
They wish.
They fucking do wish. And it's his first friend on the team because they realize that their moms say similar things. And so it means Bobby's had one guy kind of on his side the whole time.
Yeah.
He's the kicker. So he's also not on the field all the time, which helps because he can hang out with a water boy.
Yes, that's right. And he gets to, he imagines when he's doing his thing. He imagines a KKK guy.
It's weird. It's this like tall guy in a suit with a red tie, and he's kind of orange, and he's got blonde hair swept over, and he's like the president or something. He's like, I'm going to kick this Klansman.
Yes.
Yeah, he imagines like the hood with eyes, and the guy's like, I'm a member of the KKK, and then he just kicks him in the face. Honestly, it's a great moment, and the football screams the whole way.
I liked that moment
as
well.
It was awesome.
I felt,
particularly
I felt good about
the
that.
Year of our Lord 2019. Felt pretty good.
Yeah. But they eventually, it's coming down to The Wire, and, you know.
Good thing they've got that guy from The Wire.
That's right. And Henry Winkler has one final idea, but everybody's coming after Bobby. Mm. Like, they're all going to tackle him. So he has this radical plan. Stay with me, Tom.
I'm with you.
Bobby passes the football to somebody else. He passes it to, I believe, it's his, like, his team rival.
Yeah, it's the guy who used to tease him all the time.
Yeah.
He's now his friend.
Yeah, or at least, like there's, like,
Handsome McEyebrowserson, I think is his name.
Yeah, that's
generic,
right.
Handsome guy with eyebrows.
He's a handsome guy with eyebrows, and he used those eyebrows to win the game. And
yep.
They win the Bourbon Bowl.
Yep, which is a huge upset. And now, without the power of the playbook, old coach is soundly defeated.
Yeah.
Henry Winkler is triumphant. The only thing left is to get married to Vicky Valancourt.
Yeah.
Or is it, because they put a post-credit stinger in the fucking movie.
Wait. What?
It's not an actual post-credit stinger, but it is what would now be a post-credit stinger, which is like, we're married, we're leaving. And Rob Snyder's like, you can do it all night long. And everyone's like, yay. And then out of fucking nowhere.
Oh, yes.
Car rolls
the
up.
The last moment.
And who
yes.
gets out but Bobby Boucher's deadbeat dad, who's like, I heard you want a bunch of money. We should do stuff with it. And then Kathy Bates tackles him.
Yeah.
And then says, like, go enjoy learning to become a man. And then everyone stands around awkwardly, and then they drive away slowly. And it's a fucking real weird note to end the movie on.
Yeah.
Kathy Bates is like, go fuck. Lawnmower away into the distance.
Yes. Yes.
So, sorry. I didn't mean to imply there was an actual post-credit.
No.
But I feel like that would have been in any other film.
Yeah. If it was,
a 2000s
now they
comedy,
would do that.
Like Wedding Crashers, it was a Hangover. That's where it would
yeah.
live.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. And the guy who plays the dad is actually the director of the film.
Oh, really?
Frank Poracci.
He's got a great face for comedy, which
yeah.
is a rough thing to say, but also, you know, he knows. He's leaning into it.
He's leaning into yeah. it, yeah.
It's like a John Lovitz role that they didn't want to pay John Lovitz to do.
Exactly. And that's The Waterboy. So we're going to be back after this short break. I've got the trivia for you, Tom.
I'm very excited.
I have some behind the scenes.
Mm.
I bet you wouldn't know it, but a lot of work went into this film, and we should take a moment to appreciate it.
All right.
After this break.
Hell yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back. It's Rewatchability. We're talking about The Waterboy. I'm here with Tom McGee. Tom, you have podcasts.
I do.
What are they?
So I run two podcasts you can find on iTunes and SoundCloud and all those fun places. I'm also on a movie podcast called Garbage Town, which I co-host with two dudes because, you know, we don't have enough dudes talking about movies, right?
There are.
So
if you know some dudes, please start a podcast.
Yeah.
But we're allowed to do it. We're grandfathered into the dudes are allowed to do podcasts.
So, yeah, we do. It's called Garbage Town, the comedy movie podcast where we review movies that are either in cinema or old movies that we remember being terrible. We recently did Small Soldiers.
That's a good
which
one.
Which I've held rage in my heart about forever. It's a lot of fun. So you can check that out. We often have guests on, comedians. We just did our 160th episode about SummerSlam. We decided to just, like, dip into the WWE for a day.
Wow.
because truly a garbage production. And the other one is called Dum Dums and Dragons, which is a podcast that I host and run where we have comedians and improvisers come on and play Dungeons and Dragons for the first time.
Wow.
Which is a lot of fun. It's very dumb. It's very silly. We're on our fourth season right now. A lot of fun shit going on. So yeah, you can find both of those. We've got a website, garbageproductions.net, or you can just find us on the iTunes or the Google Plays.
Yeah, all those things.
Wherever fine podcasts are served.
Excellent. Do that.
But okay. Also listen to the rest of this one.
No, it's fine.
No, you
just
got
go.
To. No, no.
Just go.
Bye.
So, Tom, I have some trivia questions for you, and these are, you know, I don't know if you're a Bobby Boucher of trivia, but hopefully you'll be able to get some touchdowns with this.
I was born ready.
Okay.
I've drank my magical glacier water to keep me going, so let's do it.
The first one is sort of a low ball. For which film did Kathy Bates, who plays Bobby Boucher's mama, Mrs. Boucher, for what movie film did she win the Academy Award for Best Actress?
That would have been Misery, I believe.
That's correct.
Yeah, good.
Way to go. There's a second part to the question. So which movie did she do, which reteamed her with the director of Waterboy and also featured, I'm going to give you some hints, Jackie Chan, Steve Coogan, and Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Would that have been Around the World in 80 Days?
It is.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Did not see it. No, no.
It looks terrible.
Yeah.
Like, it's by the director of The Waterboy.
Like, I love Jackie Chan, but there are days when I'm like, oh, Jackie.
Right. Mm. Well, when he's like, you know, advocating for taking away human rights in China or whatever.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that, man.
Don't do
That's
it, man.
Best.
Just do more Operation Condors.
Yeah, Operation Condor 3, the Condorning.
Yes. That was good. You got both points for that. That's two touchdowns.
Oh, sick.
So you only need to get two more to win this.
Well, Rob,
set.
I've got a trivia question for you.
What?
How many points do I have now in football?
Six.
Oh, so close. 14.
What?
Yeah, that's 7 points for each touchdown.
I can't afford that many points, Tom.
No. But we're not playing the foosball because my mama would get real mad at me. So
I have two
rewatchability points that I can cash in at my you know, maybe I can get a giant novelty comb or like
I love
– honestly, there are some great prizes in the studio. I wish you could see them. They're majestic.
I love Kathy Bates and, you know, I think like maybe she reminds me of my own mom. I don't know. I think she's so great in this. And, like, it's sort of a silly movie, but I fucking love Kathy Bates. I'm glad she brought the noise.
100%. It's like her and Winkler are two of those people who I think you can plug into almost anything.
Yeah.
And they'll just elevate it. Like,
yeah.
It's just better because they're around.
Yeah.
And both of them deliver the perfect tone for this and unflinchingly. Like, they know exactly what it is. They deliver it at exactly – she just plays the character from Misery. It's amazing.
Yeah,
but, like,
much.
She lived in the bayou. Like, it's wild. But she's just like, yep. Like, there's no like, winking at the camera being like, I'm better than this. It's like, no, I am Mama Boucher.
Yeah. Well, actually,
my husband died in the Foreign Legion.
I actually have a quote from her from an interview where she talked about this. She says, well, my agent sent me the script, and actually, she didn't want me to read it because she didn't like it. But they made me an offer, so legally, they had to send me the script. And I read the first 12 pages, and it was about football. And it was kind of silly, so I tossed it in the trash next to my bed. And my niece, who worked for me, saw this script lying in the trash. I guess it's like a child labor thing. And she said, what is this? And she picked it up. And it had Adam's name on it. And she said, Adam Sandler? Don't you know who Adam Sandler is? So that's why she ended up doing the film. But also her sort of portrayal. I mean, she's great. She's great at whatever she does. Whatever, I mean, it's going to be fantastic. But as to whether or not, like, it was an accurate portrayal of, you know, New Orleans mama, she said she came from Memphis, her family.
Oh, interesting.
Mm. Yeah, Tennessee. And she says that she thinks that her family would have looked down on people like the Bouchers. They were Cajun down there in the swamps and the Everglades and stuff. So she says that she thinks she came from a quote-unquote more refined culture than that. And she didn't even have an idea what a Cajun accent was like. So she just sort of had fun and did whatever she wanted with it.
Huh.
Which kind of like, you know, as, you know, somebody who has studied the art of acting, I'm a little bit disappointed in you, Kathy.
I don't know. Because like the character of Mama seems so disconnected from everything else around her,
mm-hmm.
that I feel like she'd be too good for just a regular accent. She's got to develop her own thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, she leads her own life. Also, she's not originally from Louisiana in this film.
Oh.
I don't think. Well, maybe. Oh, no, maybe I'm getting confused because the husband moved away. But I feel like he moved to Louisiana and she followed. Isn't that correct?
I think they're in Louisiana and
Vicky Valancourt knew him as a kid, they would
have been in like the outskirts, like, you know, the swamps, the place where Hard Target takes place. And he went to New Orleans.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Which is a devil city.
Yes, yes, where you find the voodoo women, apparently.
And
yes.
The House of New Orleans.
Yes, yes.
Trivia question the second. This is going to be a hard one.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like you to name one Adam Sandler film where Rob Schneider doesn't appear. It's a tough one. Name one where he doesn't appear. I know you're yelling out at home.
No, I'm flipping a coin between two. I'm going to say – fuck, I can't remember what the name of it is, but the one with him and Jennifer Aniston, it's like The Switch or something, where it's like they have to pretend that they're dating. They're not, but it's late era Sandler.
Okay, we're just going to look it up because I don't know. I don't have Rob Schneider's filmography memorized.
Well, you do that.
I'm
going to look up football points to make sure I got that right.
Okay. And Tom, do you want some water?
Yes, thank you. Some high quality H2O. That'd be delightful. Appropriate for the show we're discussing.
I'm going to get myself some too, which is technically illegal for a water boy. You're not supposed to, you know, you don't shit where you drink.
Oh, but Rob, you're a water man. You can do what you want.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, what was that movie called?
Just Go With It, 2011.
You know what, Tom?
Mm-hmm.
You're correct.
Yay!
Just Go With It. He's not in there. And I have heard speculation as to why, that there was some sort of like falling out between Adam Sandler and Rob Schneider between Grown Ups and Grown Ups 2.
Which he did not appear in.
Did not appear in.
Yeah,
that's right. I can't remember
what podcast.
Was it about
his politics?
I can't remember. I'm sure it was on like Mark Maron or something like that.
Yeah.
But they did, evidently. And this really made me feel good. They did heal whatever strain was in the relationship because Rob Schneider did appear in The Ridiculous Six and in Sandy Wexler, which I didn't see.
Yes, nor should you. I haven't seen it either, but you know.
Also,
I owe you an apology, Rob. One touchdown is indeed 6 points. The extra point is for the kick. So if I had the guy from The Wire doing that extra kick on both my points, I would have 14, but technically I only have 12.
Damn.
I figured there would be one sports fan who's like, that son of a bitch is being so smug about it. Fuck him.
Somebody who has at least seen one game of football.
I've seen several. I just don't pay attention. Yeah, no. And so I kind of cheated, though, because I knew there was that dead zone of no Schneider. But also, I was going to guess Punch Drunk, but it was early enough that maybe he'd show up. But there is just kind of a period where Adam Sandler's doing kind of the more generic. Like, I don't think he's in Click. I don't think he's in a lot of the kind of like that era.
Yeah. I should have specified like Adam Sandler produced because obviously he's not going to be in fucking Paul Thomas Anderson's not going to cast Rob Schneider. Come on, Tom.
Yes. Well, I mean,
but
one day.
We were also talking before about whether he was in. Yeah. No, he's not in Happy Gilmore. This is the first one where he appears.
All right. So this would be the first You Can Do It.
Yeah. But he does. He does appear in Big Daddy, Little Nicky. And I guess he had his own career, too, which is interesting. But
he did have his own show for a bit where he played himself. both gigolos. But yes, his politics are a bit problematic for light comedies.
Okay, so third question. This one's a little bit tougher, but it helps me that you talked about SummerSlam recently because this is a question about a wrestler. So the actor who plays Captain Insano has a prestigious acting career, Paul White, The Big Show. Can you name another film that he has starred in or that he has appeared in?
I'm going to guess at this because I haven't actually seen it, but it would make sense. Was he in Ready to Rumble?
Tom, no.
I know it was a different league, but like.
Yeah. No. I mean, that's a fair. I would have guessed that. He's actually in Jingle All the Way.
Is he the big Santa?
He's the big Santa.
Fuck, man. I love Jingle All the Way. Yeah. You gotta fight that big Santa.
Yeah. Another film featuring SNL alums. He's also appeared. He did a movie called Knuckleheads, which was like a comedy by WWE Studios.
Yeah, they do that. They do that.
And he also appeared in MacGruber.
Fuck.
Another SNL alumni movie as somebody named Brick Hughes.
Yeah, all right, that tracks. I was also, as you were listening, I was trying to figure out what the feud was. Schneider has now officially said that it's because his wife had a baby, but there's definitely some, like, other shit going on there. So
damn.
Get on it, tinfoil hats. We're going to solve Epstein first, and then we're going to solve Rob Schneider not being an Adam Sandler movie second.
We don't need to solve the second one.
Yeah,
I haven't watched an Adam Sandler movie in a long time, like one of the new ones. And like there are the ones that are on Netflix because he has like a six-picture deal with
them. Yeah, so the reason for that, you may already know this, but the reason for that was that they did – Netflix is notoriously tight-lipped about their algorithms. But the data showed that similar to Nickelback going platinum, even though no one would cop to watching Adam Sandler movies on Netflix, they were the most watched things,
yes,
movies on Netflix. So yeah, when they gave him the six-picture deal and like Ridiculous 6 was the first of that, everyone was kind of like, what the fuck? Where the fuck has Adam Sandler been? But they're like, well, like our audience is putting this on likely in the background, but like they're doing it. So here you go. So
yeah,
that's how we got like Murder Mystery, which I think is the most recent one. He did that musical tribute to Farley that was like one of his pictures, quote, quote. He did that,
right,
that spy one with Spade,
uh-huh,
Ridiculous 6, and I think there's one other. There might be a Kevin James one in there somewhere. I don't know.
What was that movie? Didn't he do a movie with Dustin Hoffman and somebody else?
Yes, I think
Ben Stiller
did The Brothers something something.
Anyway.
Yeah, there was a prestige picture not that long ago that I think he did. But, you know, then you've also got, like, the Jack and Jills of the world. So, you know, he just really balances it out.
Well, I don't think that he's made any bad films. Sorry, I have to go vomit.
Yeah, we're going to have to wash these mics. Honestly, the other dude's going on vacation for, like, one fucking week. Vomit all over the studio. Fill it with prizes that I can win with my points.
Meyerowitz stories. That's the one,
that's
I, was
the one I was thinking
of.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. So I do like him when he, you know, tries a little. I think he's still good.
He's a capable guy, and he's very funny. He's very smart. It's just he makes some real fucking bad calls.
Yeah. Well, this movie has a pretty illustrious production history.
Yeah,
which
tell
like
me more
of
this.
About.
I'm fascinated.
Well, I mean, you might wonder where they got the idea for this movie.
Rob, where did they get the idea for this movie?
Well, I mean, you could think that it's from, like, watching football, or maybe there was, like, a story in Sports Illustrated about a water boy or something like that. But, no, they just sat around a table and they were goofing off and they just came up with it.
Wait, so they had a podcast?
No. If Adam Sandler and the director of this film had a podcast, they would never have made this movie. I mean, we wouldn't have probably 9 or 10 of Adam Sandler's movies.
Fuck, they need a podcast now.
Get Adam Sandler a podcast before it's too late, before that's all that's on Netflix. But I wondered when I was watching this film why Louisiana. Did they have some sort of deep connection? Was
tax break? I bet tax break.
Well, maybe I thought one of the creative team could have been from Louisiana. It's a proud state with a proud history. And no, they a bunch of them had gone there for Mardi Gras when they were at NYU together. Because this movie was written with Tim Herlihy, which was one of Adam Sandler's buddies that he worked with on Saturday Night Live. Mm. And he's written all the movies for Adam Sandler,
oh my
pretty much.
God.
Like, all of them. And
do they just, like, keep him at the bottom of a well and, like, open it and, like, throw in a bucket of fish heads and they're like, pump another one out. This one's a Western. Make it racist. And they just close the well?
pretty much, I think. But, I mean, it's the same thing with the director, Frank Caracci. Like I said, he did that Around the World in 80 Days film. But other than that, he has pretty much only done the Adam Sandler films.
If I'm not mistaken, Around the World in 80 Days tanked. Like, yes. He lost a fuck ton of money.
That may be why he wasn't given another...
And was it Disney? It was like, it was a big studio, too. And so I suspect, you know, it's like, well, you made some money on The Water Boy, but you shit the bed on Around the World in 80 Days. Who could have known this was a bad idea? Jim cut to the camera. Everyone.
Yeah, but apparently they pitched it to Disney, and Disney said yes in the room because... Adam Sandler makes a lot of money. So why would you say no to that?
Well, I mean, it's odd. As I was watching this and thinking about kind of what I'd read about Netflix and for my day job, I've been spending a lot of time reading about Netflix and how they target things. And what I did find interesting about this is even though there are jokes about being hillbillies, they're all kind of – none of it's mocking, which is odd. It's kind of an oddly, yep, this is just who these people are. And it's not necessarily – like it's still a cliche-ridden mess. But there's something kind of interesting I think in that idea of they don't judge these characters in the film. I think perhaps the filmmakers are just by virtue of like setting it up that way.
Yeah.
But there isn't – there's this tone of just like this is who these people are. This is almost a Trailer Park Boys vibe, right? Which is like this is just who these people are.
Right.
So here they are. Here they are just doing their thing that I think probably does appeal in some ways to groups that are usually shown as like – Cletus the Slack-Jawed Yokel on The Simpsons or like just tropes where it's like, no, like, look, it's a hillbilly and that's funny. Whereas here they're just like, no, it's just who we are. He's eating the snake. And like, look, here's a guy who lives near us, but he's also weirded out by it. But it's fine. It's just normal for us. It's different for him. And he's like, okay, cool. Tell me about what part of the snake I'm eating.
Yeah, well, I think that there is something to that. I mean, I think that Adam Sandler tries to make movies which view regular people in a positive light because, I mean, regular people are his audience.
That's what I mean. That's who's putting on like five Adam Sandler films in their queue and just going like, have at it.
And that is sort of like what Clint Howard says like about Bobby Boucher is that he does it for the ugly people even though, I mean, Adam Sandler isn't ugly.
No.
You know, just inside and with his movies. Yes, I don't know if he's ugly inside. Yeah. But
no, I agree. And yeah, just that idea.
He does wear unflattering t-shirts.
Yeah, and they just give him a vest with weird shit on it and like make him wear a backpack.
Yeah, but I'm not sure whether or not I think like some of the jokes are like cruel or not, because there is stuff like, you know, at one point Henry Winkler in a flashback is calling his mom and talking about a disappointment, and we see that, I mean, first of all, the phone handle's not connected, and secondly, he's wearing some heels.
Yeah, yeah. I had to think about that, too, because I don't know if this is jumping ahead at all.
But he's not, like, a bad guy. Well, they don't, like, make fun of him.
And he's not what's odd is he's in the heels, and I think the joke as intended is, oh, look, he's wearing ladies' shoes. But if you follow the track of that character, it also just seems like Henry Winkler might just legitimately enjoy wearing ladies' shoes.
Yeah.
But it's the problem, I think, or where it starts to get a little sticky is if you pair that with the Billy Madison, Steve Buscemi arc, where he puts on lipstick and heels and comes and like shoots up a place. Like there's this, they seem to like there's an unfortunate association between wearing gendered clothing and mental breakdowns in these films.
Yeah.
Which is a very 90s trope that's gross. But also weirdly, if you're wearing like charitably, I would fully buy that Henry Winkler like spends time in high heels and is just content about it.
Yeah.
But I mean, again, the problem is I'm also like – these are all charitable reads.
Yeah.
This was 1998 comedy. So the odds – and not that today's like strikingly better. But,
well, I
mean, anyway.
I think we're at least conscious of things like that. And, you know, I think going into this movie, I sort of expected like a lot of juvenile humor and stuff that I, you know, wouldn't fly in a movie like this.
I was markedly less offended by this rewatch than I anticipated.
Yeah,
I expected to be really, really bummed out about it. So I've got like just a – it's always been a personal beef of mine. But a family member of mine has Down syndrome. And so growing up and in my household, the term retarded was always like that was like the most no-fly kind of like casually thrown around word that like even just saying it now makes me feel gross. But that was like the term that was like the most jarring in terms of like a personal as a white guy growing up in the suburbs thing. So like obviously there are other words that I'm like, no, that's a really fucking bad word.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because going back to this, I was like, holy shit, is this just going to be – a bunch of like, are they going to lean hard on a differently abled mental state of Bobby Boucher? Is it like, blah blah blah? And I was shocked that the only time it came up was a villain showing up at the – it's like – well, sorry. There's the villain on his team and then there's the villain quarterback of the other team.
Right.
So it does happen once with like a quote-unquote good guy who we cheer for later.
Yeah.
But
they also call him Needle Dick, which people with needle dicks
yeah, truly,
have dignity.
Yeah, it's very difficult for them to find a condom that works because they have a dick that's made of needles.
Yeah.
But it was an interesting I was pleasantly surprised that the way they played it was just he's a simple guy, mm-hmm. and that's it. And yeah. he's also like actually really good at learning, but like
yeah, he gets a 97% on the GED.
Yeah, he fucking like crams eight books over here. Yeah, who knows? but that was, given that era, a kind of pleasant surprise that it wasn't just like, oh, we're just going to like slam him with random slurs because we can.
Yeah. But it also, I don't think that it plays that he's like, he's not even like simple, like in the vague, ambiguous Forrest Gump way. He's like sheltered, you know?
Yeah, yep.
And he is also very timid because his mom is such like a, you know, large personality who doesn't let him do things.
Well, and his coach, evil coach, when he was a kid, one of the quarterbacks, mean quarterbacks, spat in his water and he went to hit him with like a ladle.
Yeah.
And the coach was like, you got to keep that in check. So there's also an interesting – there's kind of an interesting streak to this film, which is like he's actually just like a zen level of in control until Henry Winkler's like, you can let it out.
And I know.
Because literally Winkler's like, you got to stand up for yourself, kid. Like you can't let them push you around. And that like unleashes the beast. Yeah. Anyway, all I'm going to say, short of the weird boob grab, much less offended than I anticipated being because like
– Yeah.
Ooh.
I do feel bad for Fairuza Balk.
Yeah. She had a rough ride.
But she has a lot of fun in the movie.
Yeah. I think it's – again, like to your point earlier, she's a more interesting version of that character than we see a lot in the 90s. She's kind of scary. She's mm-hmm. like, I'll kill these people for you. Mm-hmm. It's weird. She's given the track that Sandler usually gives to a dude.
Uh-huh.
Except she's also the love interest. But like, she's a gearhead. She's capable. She's a criminal. She's kind of scary.
Right.
She's intelligent. She also like stands up for him all the time in a fairly healthy way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can tell she's having fun. And honestly, it's more fun than having to be the lady from, you know, Happy – or fucking Billy Madison just being like, hi, I'm just very pretty and my job is to stand here and be pretty as a trophy you can win. Like, ugh.
When I was doing research for this movie, I found a blog or a website or something that said, be a Vicky Valancourt, not a Khloe Kardashian.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a fucking worlds collide that I did not expect.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, be a Vicky Valancourt, not a Khloe.
But this movie has a huge cultural impact that I didn't really realize. Like, in the sports world, in particular football, it has been big. Like, some fans will dress up as the Farmer Fran character.
Really?
Apparently, or have in the past. Also, like, the merchandising has fully been exploited. Like, Adidas had Bobby Boucher jerseys that they sold for like
holy shit
$120.
Yeah, that's jersey price.
And there were also like helmets and other things for like less prices.
Well, but I mean, and we talked about this a bit earlier, but I was also just shocked at how many lines stuck in my head. So like
right,
like Gatorade,
yeah.
Great, high
water
quality,
sucks.
Yeah, water sucks. It really, really sucks. High quality H2O. Bobby Boucher, don't go playing the foosball behind my back. Like, all those fucking lines. And the one that really got me was Henry Winkler trying to come up with when we first meet him, he's trying to come up with a strategy. He's like, and then, you know, he's doing the whole, like, beautiful mind thing on a chalkboard. And he's like, fake to the left. No, you fake to the right. And I was like, holy shit. That's a weird line that stuck in my head that I had
right.
no context for. That was also, I think, for me, my first Henry Winkler movie.
Right.
I haven't seen him in anything, so
no.
That was kind of the first.
It was before he became like – he sort of got back into the spotlight, I think.
Well, I wasn't
like
allowed
Arrested
to
Development.
Watch – yeah, for sure. And I wasn't allowed to watch Scream, so I hadn't
I wasn't
seen
allowed
him.
To watch Happy Days.
Well, understandably. I mean your family just had respect for jukeboxes.
That's right.
But
those things are expensive.
Stop hitting them. Put a quarter in. So yeah, it is interesting. And also in terms of sports movies, I feel like – there's a limited amount of legitimately – and air quotes to the end of time with this – but like good comedy sports movies.
Right.
There's a lot of like the Remember the Titans, mm-hmm. like Rudy, like, well, we lost but we learned the value of teamwork or
right.
we won and we, you know, defy the odds. But you kind of have a gap between kids comedy the thing. So like the Mighty Ducks, which was I think really more of a, the first one at least was pitched more as an adult film because it's about a lawyer who has a community service. And then they're like, oh, make it up with the kids. But, you know, like The Big Green and The Sandlot and all that shit. So you got that. And then you've got kind of the inspirational ones, Field of Dreams, all that stuff. But there's kind of like a gap.
Yeah.
And I feel like this film kind of basically takes that idea of something like a Sandlot and just does it on a grander adult scale. And a lot of films do that.
Yeah.
So I can understand why it would kind of capture that. And also college football is fucking huge.
It is.
It's like
– not here.
No.
In America.
It is wild down there.
It's like a thing.
Friends of mine I was just talking to some. They were just down in the States and they wanted to just go see a random college football game. The entire stadium was sold out for the entire year and they auctioned tickets off. Like it was an 80,000 seat arena. Like it's bonkers. So I understand not only like, oh, it's not even an NFL thing. It's like an NCAA. Like it really ticks a lot of boxes.
Mm-hmm. I also have read that it is very influential in rap music. Like it gets referenced a lot. Bobby Boucher gets referenced in a lot of raps by rappers.
That makes me so happy in a strange way.
I looked at some of the lyrics. There are some that I dare not say as a white guy, but this one I think I can from Kanye West's New Slaves. He says, allow me to rap. Can't control me. I know that we the new slaves. I know that we are the new slaves. I'm about to wild the fuck out. I'm going Bobby Boucher. I know that pussy.
Damn, son.
Yeah. He's also been mentioned by Lil Wayne.
Mm-hmm. Well, so here's the thing. Do you think Kanye is bummed that he married a Kardashian and not a Vicky Valancourt?
Oh, my God.
That blog was written by Kanye.
Now I have to start listening to Kanye and pay attention to his lyrics. Or I'll just not.
If you've met me, you know I'm Big Nicky. I don't know.
Yeah, can you imagine?
It's just all Adam Sandler.
Just like people rapping about Adam Sandler movies. Yeah. Like that's just, I don't know. But so that's the Waterboy. Tom, what did you think watching it this time? I mean, you know, it's been a long time for both of us, I think, for Adam Sandler. But what did you think?
Yeah, I found it less offensive than I thought, a little more charming than I thought, because I think I'd forgotten that Adam Sandler can play almost like what would now be like a Steve Carell character. Like just a very sweet, innocent, incredibly well-meaning – or like Will Ferrell in Elf. Mm-hmm. Like just an incredibly positive character. There were moments I found funny. Honestly, the farmer dude was my like –
that guy's awesome.
He fucking wins the day for me on this round. I was laughing so much just at him. Kathy Bates, I enjoyed back then. I enjoy more now just knowing like the pedigree of actor she is and seeing her just like really fucking have fun. And
I love the relationship between her and Adam Sandler. Like it's kind of scary, but also, like, sweet at the end.
Well, and I think that's, again, what kind of distinguishes this and some of the earlier Sandler films from later ones is that it's all played with heart, the entire fucking film. Every single character, the villains, even Clint Howard is played with heart, which is, normally a throwaway joke, with the exception of, weirdly, Rob Schneider just being like, you can do it, kill them. Like, he feels like a character who fell out of, like a Happy Gilmore into this. I enjoyed it. I didn't find it as funny as I did as a kid, but that's also just because I've seen better slapstick, I think.
Yeah.
The soundtrack is really good.
Yeah.
It's a very –
like 90s hits.
Fuck, yeah. It's an expensive-ass soundtrack. I don't know what the fuck they were thinking, but like cool, thanks.
Yeah.
So no, I had a lot of fun. Like I don't know that I'll be rushing out to see it again. But as a film that I really only remember from having seen as a kid and then seeing it again now, being like – oh, shit. And weirdly, over on Garbage Town, I've had the inverse of this, or like where I've remembered hating a film as a kid and then seeing it again and be like, oh, yeah. No, it holds up. I still hate it. Whereas usually it's the opposite. So it was kind of nice to be like, I remember this being good. I hope it doesn't suck. And then be like, oh, yeah. I mean, again, with the caveats we've mentioned, generally speaking, yeah.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah. I think that I enjoyed watching it. There were some times that I definitely laughed. I think that you're right. Like, it is a very positive. It has a lot of heart, which I think is good for a sports movie. Like, with all this stuff about Adam Sandler, you know, thinking about the people who make him angry and project them on other people. Like, this movie seems like it's very much predicated on the technology to put one actor's head on a different actor's head. It's like, we wanted to do this 20 years ago. Stanley Kubrick wanted to direct this film, but we didn't have the technology.
Yeah, it's like James Cameron's like, oh, fuck, I really wanted to make this, but by the time the green screens were put up in the warehouse, someone had already done it.
But I feel like it has less of, like, the stuff that some of the other Adam Sandler movies have, because I don't, like, he doesn't have to, like, learn anything. Oh. I'm not saying, like, Adam Sandler movies are famous for their protagonists learning something.
No, but the better ones are. Like, both Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison are reliant on him coming to a realization and changing, whereas this one is like, he's a good dude the whole time.
Yeah.
And his mom has to just tell him the truth. But even then, he's like, yeah, his arc is very clean in this. It's just kind of, yep.
Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, I'm glad that there are character relationships like the one with Kathy Bates. And yeah, like even the Vicky Valancourt thing, though, it's a bit inexplicable. Like it's sweet.
Mm.
And yeah, so it's kind of enjoyable.
Him and Henry Winkler have a really nice relationship.
Right, yeah.
And the reverse at the end where he's just like, you helped me, coach, let me help you, is like a really nice weird little beat to get.
And apparently he cast Henry Winkler because Henry Winkler heard the Hanukkah song in which Henry Winkler is mentioned, and then Henry Winkler sent Adam Sandler a nice note.
Oh, that's lovely.
Isn't it?
Aw.
That's what I would want Hollywood to be. Yeah, I just want it to be like more like nice old Ben sending notes. It's like, I heard you mention me in a song.
Dear Mr. Sandler, you don't know me, but my name is Henry Winkler. The other thing that my wife Miles pointed out when we were watching this was it also just – they get down to business fast.
Yeah.
Like he is fired, goes home, and is rehired in maybe 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And tackles the first guy at like maybe the 15, 20-minute mark. And we're both watching it. We're like, fuck, that is – I expected a lot more build. And it's because I think we're used to the kind of the 2000s comedy bloat.
Yeah. We want to like live in the
world.
Where
it's like 2.5 hours or it's just like, oh, we really got to spend a bunch of time setting this. It's like a 40-year-old virgin feels like two separate movies that are kind of stapled together in the middle. This is just like, no, he's an angry guy and he tackles people. Here we go. I was like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Well, I mean like they could definitely do more to establish like the Vicky Valancourt relationship because she just sort of like comes and goes and, you know, but – and then comes back. But – I don't know that the movie wants to settle on those points. And like, you know, when Adam Sandler's movies do focus on the romantic relationship, that's not necessarily a good thing.
Well, and fundamentally, this film is Bobby Boucher's film. Like the – even Mama and Coach and Vicky, they're there but they're not – there's not one defining relationship in it. They just kind of like click in when they're needed and click out when they aren't.
Yeah.
It still does feel a bit long even though it's only 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Largely because once you get over that gag, and again, as a kid, I didn't, but the gag of just like he's going to yell like a pig, like squeal like a pig and then tackle someone, that's it. Like that's kind of the middle of the movie is that.
I don't find any pleasure in that anymore.
No. You know, when the politics of the world just keep tackling you while squealing like a pig, you're like, it's not funny anymore. But
I've been Bobby Boucher by life.
Well, and I think, too, that it's – haven't we all? Just ask Kanye. There's value in variety, and unfortunately this gag is literally just he's going to tackle people.
Yeah.
And there are a couple of variations on it, but ultimately it's that, which kind of drags out, I think, the middle section a bit. But
yeah. Yeah, so I'm going to say rewatchable. It's not like the same level as some of the other ones. I think the other Adam Sandler movies, some of them before this, are like a little bit –
Definitely. Well, to your point, it's lacking the stuff. Like, it's one gag played out with a bunch of kind of minor gags, whereas I find a lot of the other ones, there's variety, there's interest, there's different styles of comedy happening constantly that keep you
– But at least it's a movie. Like,
absolutely.
It's a world with like a plot and, you know, it's not just like Adam Sandler hanging out with his friends. So I guess the bar is low, but
– Thanks, grown-ups and grown-ups too.
directed by fucking Frank Caracci.
God damn it. Of course it is.
So anyway, that's The Water Boy. Tom, thanks for coming on and talking.
Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
Do you want some more water?
You know what?
Want
I
one
think
for
I'm
going
to switch over to Gatorade because I'm a monster. Ow! Right in the face.
Where can people find you?
So I'm on Twitter at McGeeTD. And as I mentioned before, if you want to check out my other two podcasts, they are Garbage Town, the movie podcast, and Dum Dums and Dragons. You can find Dum Dums and Dragons at DDD on Twitter, I think. Yeah, just Google it. We're the only Dungeons and Dragons out there. But yeah, so those are my other two shows. And otherwise, it's me retweeting funny things about things I like and then occasionally sad things about things I don't. So yeah,
nice.
2019 in the digital age.
Everybody has to be funny and politically aware. And you can find us here next week when we'll be talking about
a movie.
I'll figure it out by then. And you can find us on Apple Podcasts if you haven't subscribed already. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. If you'd like to request a movie, go to rewatchability@gmail.com and you can email us at that address. Don't go to it. Go email us from your own inbox. We will get the email. Or you can go to rewatchability.com and click on the speak pipe thing and leave us a little voicemail and we could play it on the show when we're talking about your movie. And that's a nice thing.
Yeah, that is a nice thing.
And remember, hydrate.
Got to get some high-quality H2O.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.